I would like to suggest that the shaking that you are watching is an on-purpose calamity to disturb things on earth.
Dr. Tony Evans says that's one of the ways God points us to himself.
He will create a contradictory crisis to reveal his unshakable kingdom.
This is The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans, author, speaker, senior pastor of Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship in Dallas, Texas, and president of The Urban Alternative. When God shakes things up in the world, he provides a way for us to avoid being shaken up along with it. Dr. Evans says whether or not we remain unshakable depends on what we hold on to. Let's join him as he explains.
When I was a boy growing up in Baltimore, Maryland, I would often spend the weekends at my grandmother's home. And I would be watching on Saturday morning my favorite cartoons. If it happened to thunderstorm, and if there was lightning, my grandmother would inevitably say, "Tony, turn the television off." I'd say, "But grandmother, I'm watching the cartoons, Tony. Turn the television off because God is talking." Her interpretation was that there was a divine disruption into the ordinary affairs of life. The scripture makes it clear that when that happens, when my world and your world is turned upside down and inside out, we are not to dismiss it as mere events of the day. When the natural order of things are disrupted in a significant way, scripture would have us to know what grandmother said. God is talking. Now, this is not a philosophical or psychological analysis. This is a theological truth. Because the author of Hebrews, the author who wrote the book, whose theme is very simply, never give up, to people who are facing all kinds of cataclysmic realities in their lives and in their circumstances, chapter after chapter after chapter, his retort is the same, never give up. He comes to chapter 12. And he says in verse 25, "See to it that none of you refuse him who is speaking. For if those did not escape when they refused him who warned them on earth, much less we will escape who turn away from him who warns from heaven. And his voice shook the earth then, but now he has promised, saying, yet once more, I will shake not only the earth, but also the heaven." This expression, "yet once more," denotes the removing of those things which can be shaken, of the created things, so that the things which cannot be shaken may remain. The author of Hebrews says, when God has a fresh message to give, a new challenge to throw out, a reorientation to inaugurate, he shakes things up. When God wants things done differently, when God does not want the norm to continue, when God has to uproot the ordinary and call us to the extraordinary, he shakes things up. When God has decided that we've become too cavalier, when God has decided we've become too at ease, when God has decided that we have become too comfortable, when God has decided that we're not on point with his purpose, he shakes things up. And you can always know when God is talking, because he disrupts the ordinary things by crafting a crisis. Let me say that again. In your life, my life, your family, my family, your ministry, my ministry, if you want to know where God wants to do something different, he does not want the same old anymore. He will create a contradictory crisis. When he wanted to move Moses from the ordinary to the extraordinary, he created a crisis that captured his imagination and tension because there was a bush that would not burn. That's a contradiction. A bush that does not burn. Why? Because there was a new mission that Moses was to be on. When he wanted Israel to make their movement to the promised land, he created a crisis that included a contradiction. Pharaoh coming one way, the Red Sea right in front of them. Either way they go, it means death. It's a no-win situation because he was up to something that would be different. When he wanted to make Peter a fisher of men, he asked him to contradict what he knew about fishing. In the place that he knew to fish, the time he knew to fish, he flipped the script, and Peter knew it was a contradiction because he asked Jesus, why are you asking me to do this that way when I am the professional and I know how it works? Because he wanted to take a fisherman and make him a fisher of men. When he wanted to show that he was the son of the living God, he took two sisters and created a contradiction. He told Martha and Mary, your brother's not going to die. Then he dies. They say, but if you would have been here, he says, but didn't I tell you? How can he say he's not going to die? Then he's dead. But then if he's dead, he's not dead. And it becomes a confusing situation until the stone is rolled away because he wanted to show something different. I would like to suggest that the shaking that you are watching on whatever your news channel preference happens to be is an on-purpose calamity. A crisis that has originated in heaven to disturb things on earth because God is looking for something different. There are two choices. One, in our belief in the imminent return of Christ, he is shaking things so that we are prepared for his quick return. And with that, there is no option because that is related to the prophetic conclusion of history. Or he is dismantling things in a way that they cannot be fixed through ordinary means to reassert the role, responsibility, and functioning of his people because he has become sick and tired of our ordinary way of operating. And so he decided to allow a crisis of health to get it started. COVID-19 would not only disrupt the world, it would disrupt the church. The walls would no longer be the comfortable place for comfortable Christianity. He would then take the death of a man in Minnesota and allow a racial upheaval to continue to bubble up, pitting people against people, cultures against cultures, colors against colors, communities against communities. He would take a political divide between Democrats and Republicans, between Black Christians and white Christians, and allow it to erupt into a divisive reality in the church. And not only would he allow all of these things, he would stack them. He would take health, Stack it with race. Stack it with politics. Stack it with police and community conflict. And he would stack it. So there would be no question, things are shaking. They are being disturbed. I love the passage in 2 Chronicles chapter 15, verses 3 to 6. It says that there was no peace in those days. It says they were at peace when they left home and when they came back home. There was conflict, personal conflict, family conflict. He goes on and says there was conflict, city against city, urban conflict. He goes on and says there was conflict, nation against nation, international conflict. And then we get the zinger in verse 6 because it says, for God troubled them with every kind of distress. I would have thought it would have said, with all of this havoc, that the devil troubled them with every kind of distress. But it says God troubled them with every kind of distress because God was shaking things up to get things back in order again. I would like to suggest to you, they were told in their distress, verse 3 says of 2 Chronicles 15, when stuff got bad enough, when stuff was so chaotic, it says in their distress, they came back to the Lord and he let them find him and brought them rest. Perhaps some of you have heard me tell the story of when I met my wife at 18. I met her at 18, this beautiful young lady. But there was a problem. She was not responding at the rate to which I was accustomed. Lois was moving kind of slow, so I had to help her sister out. I took her to an amusement park in Baltimore, Maryland, called Gwin Oaks Amusement Park. And at Gwin Oaks Amusement Park, they had a roller coaster for two called the Wild Mouse. The Wild Mouse would do all the stuff the roller coasters would do, but then it would go to the edge like it was going to jump the track, and then it would turn real quick, real scary. I said, give me two tickets. We got on the Wild Mouse. The wilder the ride got, the closer she got. By the time the ride was over, you thought only one person got on it. Now, why did I buy two tickets to the Wild Mouse? Because I had a plan for her, and it was a good plan. It involved a future and a hope. But what I had to do was I had to create some distress first to get her undivided attention. The author of Hebrews says that when God is ready to do something new, he creates a disturbance. And the reason he creates the disturbance, he says, is to shake created things, earthbound things, physical things, in order to reveal that which cannot be shaken. In other words, God shakes our physical human reality to get us spiritually back on point.
When Dr. Evans comes back in just a moment, he'll take a look at some of the shaking up times God did in the Bible. But first, if your world seems to be on shaky ground and you need help finding solid confidence in his kingdom, Dr. Evans has written a great book that can help you reach that unshakable conviction. It's called God is Up to Something Great, and it reviews the lives of Paul, Peter, and Joseph to show how God can use all the failures of your past to build a very positive future. We'd like to send this uplifting book to you as our way of saying thanks when you make a contribution to help support Tony's work here on the air and around the world. And as an added bonus, we'll package the CDs or digital downloads of all 10 full-length lessons in Dr. Evans' current series, Bold Belief, along with God is Up to Something Great. Just visit us at tonyevans.org to get the details on the special double offer and make the arrangements before this limited-time offer runs out. Again, that's tonyevans.org, or call our 24-hour resource request line at 1-800-800-3222. That's 1-800-800-3222. I'll repeat that contact information for you after part two of today's message and this.
I'm standing here in Alaska, one of the most glorious places in God's great creation. And I want to invite you to join me in our urban alternative family for the Alaskan Cruise. We're going to have a magnificent time in God's Word and in God's creation. We're going to enjoy great fellowship, great fun, great food, and I'm looking forward to meeting and greeting you on our TUA Alaskan Cruise. Register to be there. Can't wait to be with you.
To find out more about this unforgettable Alaskan cruise, visit TonyEvans.org today. That's TonyEvans.org.
Whenever God created a shaking in Scripture, it would always be to attack idolatry. Idolatry is the number one sin in the Bible from which all sins emanate, because it is a rejection of the true God in favor of something or someone else. And so idolatry would be attacked. The Bible says when that happens, Romans 1, God abandons, and that allows chaos to enter into the environment. What we have developed in America and even in American Christianity are American idols. Idols of popularity, idols of materialism, idols of racism. Many of these problems that we're facing today would never have been the way they are if the white church had not taken the stand to be quiet when Jim Crow was happening, when criminal leasing was happening. But the black church has become idolatrous too. Because what we have done is we have wrapped blackness in cultural identity. So we have often been more black than biblical. We have decided that our color can trump Christ. And so we will endorse a political party who will endorse evil, say nothing about the evil of abortion, the evil of homosexuality, the evil of misuse of government because of a race issue. God doesn't ride the backs of donkeys or elephants. He sits as King of Kings. He sits as Lord of Lords. So we live in a day when God is shaking things up. To reach this generation, we must take our stand. So I suggest that we need to go beyond evangelical. That's why I love verse 28. He says in Hebrews 12, verse 28, therefore, since we have received a kingdom which cannot be shaken, a kingdom that is not limited to the stuff happening in time and space and on earth, since we've received a kingdom that trumps politics, trumps class, trumps culture, let us show gratitude. Let's act like we're thankful people so that we may offer an acceptable service and a reverence to God. I suggest that we need to go beyond evangelical without excluding evangelical. What we need are some kingdomologists. We need some men and women who understand there's only one theme in the Bible. When you look at my study Bible and the Bible commentary, at the bottom of it, it'll say these words, advancing God's kingdom. There's only one theme in the Bible, the glory of God through the advancement of his kingdom. That's the only thing the Bible talks about. You leave that subject and the Bible becomes doctrines and theologies and theories and stories and narratives and parables without a linking thing. It is all about the kingdom. And the kingdom is the rule of God. It is the rule of God for which we are to be subordinate. He says, since we serve a kingdom, since we sit under divine rule, let's act like it. Says, let's act like God can trump you. God can trump me. There are two answers to every question. God's answer and everybody else's. And everybody else is wrong. God has spoken and he has not stuttered. I know that you believe the Bible is the word of God, but he's far too often treated like the Queen of England. The Queen of England gets a lot of respect, but she just doesn't have any authority. They'll lower the flag or drop the flag based on whether she's there or not. They'll pull over when her caravan comes through. She gets a lot of cred, but she can't make nothing happen. We got too much Bible, too many Bible-believing churches, Bible-believing Christians, Bible-believing books, Bible-believing programs that give God a lot of respect. We're just not getting nothing done. We're not demonstrating a king who's ruling a kingdom. Because if we were, they couldn't skip us. They couldn't ignore us. Somebody help me. How can 1% of the population control a whole nation, and the believers in Jesus Christ can control hardly anybody? Because we're too evangelical and not kingdom enough. He builds an unshakable kingdom. If you came to me and your life was messed up, I would take the Bible and I would show you what God says about that part of your life that's messed up. I would call you to repent. I would then give you practical steps for implementing the truth that we learn in the Word. And then I would pray that the Holy Spirit would empower your obedience for transformation. If you brought your family to me and said, my family is messed up, we want a divorce, I would take the same Bible that I dealt with you personally. I would show you what God says about what it means to be a kingdom husband, a kingdom wife, kingdom parents, kingdom children. I would then call you to repentance for where you have disobeyed that. Then I would give you practical steps for implementing what the Bible said on that subject. And then I would invite the Holy Spirit to empower your obedience to the scriptures for the transformation of your home. If you brought your church to me and says, our church is falling apart, I take the same Bible that I used with the individual and the family. I talk about what a kingdom church looks like. I would give you practical steps after you repented to apply that biblical or those biblical principles. I would ask the Holy Spirit to empower your obedience to change the trajectory of the church. But what would you do if the president and the Congress came to you? Too many of us have changed books. We didn't go into other books. Even though God says, I created government. You don't get to change books. You don't get to change books in the White House. You don't get to change books in the House of Congress. Not if God is the God of governments. He raises presidents, takes down presidents. He brings up countries, takes down nations. You better bring this book to the White House and the House of Congress too. This is not a day for spiritual chumps. This is not a day for regular Christianity. We need some super unleaded up in here. This is a day for men and women who understand that God is shaking things up because God wants us to do things differently, and he'll keep it toe up from the flow up until we do things differently because he's doing it to reveal his unshakable kingdom. And then he closes. He closes with these words in verse 29. For our God is a consuming fire. He says, the reason why you better not play with this thing, Christ be not come, is because our God is a consuming fire. Now, that's bad news and that's good news. He reaches back into the Old Testament to teach New Testament truth. A consuming fire was the altar on which sacrifices were placed. Now that was bad news for the lamb or the goat or the bull, because when they were placed on the altar, they died. They were consumed by the fire. But it was good news for the folk, because when the animal was consumed and the sacrifice was made, grace, mercy, forgiveness, and restoration could then be offered. So it was bad news for the animal, but good news for the nation. Our God is a consuming fire. He's burning things up so he can be nice again. He's burning things up so he can restore again. If you really care about America and the trajectory we're on, you can't do business as usual. Can't do the ordinary. You can't do the regular, because he's trying to burn something up in here. He's trying to consume something so he can bring something new to the equation. When I was going to church and my shirt was wrinkled, Sister Evans would look at it and she would put an iron on it. She put an iron on it to set it on fire. She wasn't trying to be mean. She was trying to get out a wrinkle. But the reason she wanted to get out a wrinkle was because I was going to wear the shirt. And Sister Evans wanted me to look good in the shirt. So she would put fire on the shirt so I could look good in the shirt. God is putting fire on the church so he can look good in the church. He doesn't just want us having church. He wants to be well suited in church.
Dr. Tony Evans will return with a closing comment in just a moment. But first, I want to quickly remind you about that special offer I mentioned earlier. When you help support this broadcast by making a donation to the ministry, we'll say thanks by sending you all 10 messages in Tony's current series, Bold Belief, along with his helpful and encouraging book, God is Up to Something Great. This is a limited-time offer, so don't put it off. Drop by our website today, tonyevans.org, where you can get all the details and make the arrangements. Or call us at 1-800-800-3222, where resource team members are ready to assist with your request any time of the day or night. Again, that's 1-800-800-3222. Many things are contagious, and not all of them are bad. Dr. Evans knows good things can go viral, and he encourages you to look for opportunities to start a viral spread of kindness every day. Well, next time, Dr. Evans will kick off a brand new series taking an in-depth look at the truth, with a capital T. Right now, though, he's back with his closing thought.
As we close in television and in movies, they have previews of coming attractions. These are the hot clips of the upcoming show. Fight scene, love scene, chase scene. Always those three scenes to get you to tune into the whole movie. Now, it may be a terrible movie, but you'd never know it by the clips, because the clips are always hot. Well, my brothers and sisters, one day there's a big show coming to town. God is the producer. The Holy Spirit is the director. Jesus is the superstar. And it will be a worldwide production. It's called The Kingdom of God. But until then, he's left you, and me here as previews of coming attractions. We're supposed to be the hot clips of the upcoming show, so that when people see the unity of the church, the power of the church, the dignity of the church, the commitment of the church, when they see the hot clips of the upcoming show, then they'll ask the question, where can I buy a ticket? Of course, that's when we can tell them, you don't have to buy a ticket. The price has already been paid.
The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans is brought to you by The Urban Alternative and is made possible by the generous contributions of listeners like you.